Good morning, Sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about raising your vibration, taking inspired action, and moving forward to create the life that you want and deserve after a toxic relationship. Today, we are going to talk about something that was not my original plan, but I received a comment on yesterday's video from one of you, and I felt really motivated to discuss it. I think it's important, and I think it's something that we all need to be aware of and take note of, but also something we all need to do. I think we might be forgetting to do this one really important thing. So as soon as I see that I am in fact safely live and that people can hear me, I am about to jump into the content. But while I'm waiting for that, I'll just remind those of you who are new around here, and if you've been here before, you might like a reminder the way this works. Hello everybody. We go from the first 15 or 20 minutes of content, and then we read the cards, and then we jump into the chat and we have a nice discussion. Hello, everybody. I'm glad you can see and hear me. Hello. So I'm just going to jump right into the content, and then we're going to go from here, shall we? Let us do it. Now, I just have to find the little button. I've got the button. Here we go. All right. So today we're going to start by talking about the one person that you need to forgive if you're ever going to recover from your toxic relationship. So let's get to Shine Buzz, shall we? All right, so what happens when you've been wronged by a narcissist and in any type of toxic relationship and you wanna move on? Well, how do you let it go? How do you get on with your life and how do you make sure it doesn't happen again? Well, there are a lot of different things you can do. There are many steps we can take. I've made literally almost 2,000 videos on this topic. But one of the most important things that I think a lot of us forget is that we need to forgive one of the parties involved. And you know who that is. I'm not talking about the narcissist here. I'm talking about you. Yesterday, one of our fellow survivors, Michelle, left a comment, as I mentioned, that led me to this topic today. And what she said was she wanted to know how to begin to forgive myself for allowing decades of abuse. I get it. I know you get it too. We get angry at ourselves. So how do we go about the process of letting go of that anger at ourselves, when, especially when it's not productive anymore? How do we stop being angry at ourselves? How do we stop going, I should have known better? You know, I see this all the time, especially with intelligent people. And I tend to find that most of my followers are intelligent people because sometimes they use big words. I don't know. But anyway, I believe that you are probably an intelligent person as well. The fact is that we all go through this. We all ask ourselves, well, I don't understand. I read people so well. Normally, this person was just, I messed up. I didn't see it, or whatever it was. Or I knew it was going on and I continued to do it anyway. Or worse, I blamed myself and tried to change myself to make myself good enough for that person, and it never quite happened. I've done all those things, just like you have, I'm sure. We need to forgive ourselves first for attracting them into our lives. Well, it wasn't our fault. We don't want to continue to carry the burden of being the problem. So that, you know, because when you walk around in the world and you think, I suck, I only attract toxic people, you know, you're going to keep doing that. So by releasing the burden, then you don't repeat that same experience with just a different person. How many of us can look at ourselves right now and honestly say, there's definitely been more than one toxic person in my life, whether we're talking about, you know, a parent and a romantic relationship, or you know, a friend relationship and, you know, a romantic relationship, or whatever. There are different combinations. But as Michelle mentioned in her comment, one of the most important things is we have to forgive ourselves for allowing it to happen, not for causing it to happen. See the difference? Okay. Right now, you might be in some sort of mental prison if you're going through this. And you might have a lot of resentment, a lot of other feelings that are related to that, which is totally understandable given the circumstances, right? And even if you're past that and you're going toward the evolution stage, you still might be having a lot of anger at yourself for the years that you wasted with that person. So what you're feeling right now, if you're still feeling this, is the bitterness or the resentment or the anger, the hurt. It does influence your future relationships if you don't figure out how to forgive yourself for it in the moment, right? As we know, bitterness leads to more bitterness. Hurt leads to more hurt. Forgiveness is a way that you can clear out those old feelings and not live in the past anymore. Because this way you're going to be able to believe in yourself and trust in yourself in a way that maybe you haven't in decades or ever. Not to mention, you'll be a little wiser and more perceptive. That's always the silver lining to this type of recovery, I think. But ask yourself a question, a real serious question. Are you responsible for what that person did? I would say no, absolutely not. You don't forgive yourself to make that other person or the narcissist in this situation not guilty. They still did what they did. You created your reality, they created theirs. They messed with yours, right? Because the realities then overlapped. I mean, if we're talking about a narcissist, they are a narcissist before you met them. They remain a narcissist if they go out of your life. If they're a cheater, they were that way before you got them. If they are a betrayer, they were that way before they came into your life. You know, the question is, why did I attract someone like this into my life? What is it about me that makes me bring these people into my life? The fact is, we didn't know that they would be a toxic person. We didn't know they would cheat on us or betray us or hurt us in some way when we first met them. They were love bombing us. We thought we had met our soulmates, maybe. Or if they're our parents, we trusted them because they were our parents. Or if they're our, you know, brother, sister, whatever. We didn't know. And sure, maybe there were little hints. Maybe there were little clues that we ignored or that we kind of glossed over because we were so into the relationship. That's human. We do that. Everybody does that, even in healthy relationships. You know, you might find that, for example, let's say, you know, Jane and Joe, they meet, everything's great. They, you know, start going to baseball games together because Joe's really into baseball and Jane pretends to enjoy it. And then about 5 years in, she's like, you know what? I really never liked baseball, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go by yourself. Now, Joe might be super disappointed when he hears that for 5 years she's been lying about being into baseball, but that's it's fairly normal for someone to tolerate someone else's hobbies in the beginning and to pretend to like them even. I'm not saying it's right, I'm saying it happens. The point is, when it comes to the narcissist, we chose, unless they were our parent or family, we chose to let that person into our life. We allowed it to happen, whether we like to admit it or not. The only thing that is our responsibility in this whole thing is that we allowed it to happen. But we didn't always know what we were allowing. We weren't always aware of what was happening because it is such a subtle, pervasive type of abuse that these people kind of put on us, right? But that one thing, the allowing of it, is the one thing we need to forgive ourselves for. It's the one thing that we have done or not done. You know, maybe it was inaction that caused us to not leave, but that's the only thing, is the allowing. So what is the value of forgiving yourself in this situation? Well, first of all, on some level, it's empowering for us to accept our own responsibility in this whole deal, our contribution, as it were. And I understand you were wronged. I get it. I was wronged. This person, this narcissist, intentionally engaged in behavior that was hurtful, unjustified, and unfair. But by forgiving ourselves, we're not saying that behavior is okay, it's acceptable. We're not saying that. On some level, they will pay for what they did, right? But it's not our responsibility or our business to make that happen. You know, you could call it karma, you could call it the universe, you could call it the golden rule, whatever. But whatever it is, it's not our business to get revenge. It's not our business to have anything else to do with that person when we pull away from them. We don't even have to forgive them if we choose not to. I personally don't believe in necessarily like traditional, like I forgive you kind of stuff, but I do believe in releasing them. And in my mind, I call that forgiveness, but I do believe in releasing the need to hold on to anger related to that person and what they did. But that's not something that everybody's ready to do right away. But once you have gotten past the part where the anger is helpful and useful in helping you to propel forward, then yes, you want to release the anger toward that person. You could call it forgiveness or you could just call it releasing. But again, while I understand that many people do try to make it their business to make someone pay for what they've done, a narcissist, it's not really our business. And the very best revenge that I personally believe that we could get is living well despite the fact that they exist. Not to spite, despite, as though they don't exist for us. And that's really because you're removing all supply from them and you're showing them that you can fly higher without them, you know? But as I mentioned, we are going to be a lot more productive by dealing with our side of this stuff, our contribution to what has happened to us. So we can't worry about theirs so much, you know? Just know that, you know, they'll get theirs. But look at the damage that you're doing to yourself by not forgiving yourself in this situation. Maybe you don't believe in yourself anymore, or maybe you don't trust yourself to make good decisions, or you can't make a freaking decision to save your life. Maybe your self-confidence is lacking. Maybe it's a little lower than lacking. Maybe you're carrying around a ton of emotional pain, which, as we all know, can sometimes manifest its way into physical pain as well. Our health can be affected by this. But I would guess that so many other issues have come up for you since you've been wronged by this person. I can come up, I mean, like I said, I've made almost 2,000 videos about this. But forgiving yourself can heal the damage that was caused by that narcissist in your life. Because again, even though it's not your fault, it helps you to feel empowered if you can go, okay, well, my part in this was I allowed it to happen for as long as I did. And then you can release it. I know one thing that happened to me when I was going through my toxic relationships is I went through this, well, it must be my fault process. I'm sure we all did. And I started to read, how can I change myself? How can I be better? And I started to take action and make myself better. But what was happening is I was essentially trying to right a wrong that wasn't mine to right. Does that make sense? But on the plus side, I did benefit on the level of being able to have a personal evolution in that process, a mini one, but it happened. And I want you to remember that by forgiving yourself in this situation, you're not letting that person off the hook. The narcissist doesn't be off, they don't get off the hook when you forgive yourself. I want you to listen really carefully. I'm going to say it loud. You let you off the hook by forgiving yourself. You feel, are you picking up what I'm putting down? I don't mean to shout, but I want to make that point really clear, because forgiving yourself means empowering yourself, okay? You free yourself from your own private HE double hockey sticks, okay? It is a strength. Forgiving yourself is a strength that empowers you. And by not forgiving yourself, you are not honoring or respecting yourself, because you're saying that you don't matter. And haven't we all had enough of not mattering? Don't we all deserve to matter to ourselves at the very least? Forgiveness creates freedom. It is liberating. It is positive. It is proactive. And it's a choice that you can make for yourself. It is a deliberate choice. And it comes from not a position of weakness, not a position of not good enough. It comes from a position of power, of purpose, of responsibility. And it's really what you have to do to get to the next level. At some point, if you're not ready to do it yet, I understand, but you must. It is an act of character and integrity. And it does take courage. It's not easy. And I admit, it isn't easy to be kicked around by someone. It isn't easy to let someone beat you down and then forgive yourself for having been kicked or beat down, right? Because we're like, well, I didn't do this. It's not me. It's that person who did it. They're the ones who are responsible for this behavior. They're the bad ones. And that's the truth, no doubt about it. But we allowed it to happen. That's the only bit of responsibility we have here. Finding our own contribution to being kicked is like finding a foothold to greater power and greater strength. And that, again, is taking back your power. It's taking back your rights. It's choosing to take that next step in evolution. You become more if you forgive yourself for being wronged. Does that make sense? It takes enormous courage to let go of the blame that you're placing all over yourself right now. We seek strength in blame for some reason. We anchor to it. And the thing is, in some ways, we're justified to blame ourselves, right? Because we really, well, to blame the narcissist. In some ways, we're justified to blame the narcissist. And all the ways, let's be honest. not in some ways. They did it. We really were wronged. I think anyone with even an ounce of empathy in their soul would see this and would acknowledge that we were wronged. It's really clear and obvious to most people or anyone who has ever experienced this type of abuse. But what I'm saying is go beyond the obvious stuff. If blame really did solve problems, my gosh, what a wonderful world we would live in today, right? Blame doesn't solve problems, though. It just sort of locks them in place so that you can't release them. They stay stuck to you like glue or something. You got your coffee today, by the way? The trap is you are justified in blaming. But if you continue to blame, then those painful feelings stay stuck to you. You can't grow, you can't stretch, you can't reach for more in your life if you're constantly blaming. It's like putting your feelings in the freezer, because then you have to go carry the freaking freezer with you everywhere you go, man. It's no good. Blame is like being seduced by someone who is just amazingly gorgeous to you and they have a hidden agenda because you think they really are into you, right? All they want is your money or your time or your whatever it is they're trying to go after. If you know their game, though, you can resist. You can be like, well, yeah, you're hot and everything, but I'm just not into having my money taken. This is just a metaphor, right? If you just let it be what it is and you kind of just be like, it's cool. I'm kind of into you anyway. It's cool. Then you're going to get taken. Does that make sense? You think blame is your friend, but really all it wants is your power. So you give up your power to blame. Do you feel me? I know it doesn't seem that way because we always get a cheap bit of power when we throw the blame game out there, right? It feels kind of good sometimes when somebody goes, yep, you're right, it's all their fault. And let me just tell you, it is all their fault, but that's irrelevant when we're coming to personal evolution. Once you're away from that person, it doesn't matter anymore, as long as you keep yourself safe. Look, it's like spending on credit. So there's no problem until the payment comes due, you know? But to me, the biggest benefit of having forgiven myself for being wronged by the narcissist is that it helps make sure it doesn't happen again. I went through too many times of being stuck in my own personal HE double hockey sticks because I kept blaming myself and beating myself up and not letting go of those feelings of inadequacy and shame that were just permeating in my life. I have personally suffered enough, and I think you have too. I don't want to go through that same situation again, but if I don't forgive or I don't keep forgiving myself, then I most likely will repeat all of those same mistakes again, and so might you. So, well, the other option, of course, is to try to never love anyone else in your life, and some people really think that's the way to go. Either way, it might be hard to actually stick to it. You never know what can happen. But even if you choose to not be in another relationship, that's okay. But it's something that you're going to have to continue to struggle with on a daily basis, because you're really going to have to like keep yourself separate from anyone who potentially could be a friend or a partner. You know, more likely, since we haven't explored the reasons why we created or attracted a hurtful person, a toxic narcissist into our lives, we'll end up just bringing another one in, like we said, and then you have to go through the same pain again. It's no good. Just thinking about it kind of depresses you, right? But we all want to live a better life, and we don't want to repeat the pain of the past, and so forgiveness gives us that opportunity to make things better, forgiveness of ourselves. So the next time we have a better chance of finding someone who will treat us with the respect that we deserve. We won't tolerate all the stuff. See, when you forgive yourself, you open the door for self-love. And when you love or even like yourself a little bit, you are much more capable of putting boundaries into place and standing behind them and not worrying that, well, this might be my last chance at love or whatever it is that you're worried about. You know what I'm saying? Because you respected yourself enough to forgive yourself for what the narcissist did. You know? You forgave yourself for what your contribution was, which was just allowing it. Because of the fact that we allowed it, that's our part, in the whole thing. Technically, we're not spectators in our own lives, even though many of us probably felt that way in the depth of the relationship. We're not helpless victims. We had some hand in creating what happened, even though mostly that was just in being passive and not actively stopping it or actively removing ourselves from the situation. But again, you can't beat yourself up for that because most of us didn't know what we were going through until we figured it out, right? And that's part of why I do what I do here, because we didn't cause it, we just allowed it. And so when we allow someone else to hurt us, we can either live in that hurt and that pain and just, you know, keep festering, or we can forgive ourselves and turn it into something positive by changing ourselves for the better. You feel me? And the way to change it is by recognizing what happened, feeling the impact of what happened, and forgiving ourselves for why we let it happen in our lives. That's it. We know why it happened in many cases, because we started out in toxic families and we grew into people who felt normal around toxic people. Not every situation is that way, but that's where many of us started off. And later, if you choose to forgive the narcissist, okay. But always forgive yourself first. And you may not choose to forgive the narcissist. You may choose to just release them once you've healed yourself. But as an acknowledgement to yourself that you were in charge of your life, you were the most important person in your life, whether, I know a lot of us think it's our children, but it has to be us first. We have to wear our own oxygen mask, right? And that's in reference to the plane thing where they tell you in airplanes to put your own oxygen mask on first. Okay. But as an acknowledgement to ourselves that we are in charge of our lives, not them, we must forgive ourselves first. Why didn't they go ruin someone else's life instead of your life or my life? We don't necessarily get to know that. We can come up with our assumptions, and we can tell you that, you know, toxic families, blah, blah, blah. We can tell you that we're too forgiving, we're people pleasers, we're pushovers, we're just empaths who care too much. All those things might be true, but ultimately it doesn't matter. In the end, what matters is that we let them in, they betrayed us, and now we are left to pick up the pieces. And pick them up we will, right? Because you can pick up those pieces, you can be a winner, you can take that sucker punch to your gut, and you can become a better person for it. Not a bitter, beaten loser, but an amazing, more positive, shiny, radiant version of yourself. You can take the pain that narcissist tried to dump on you, and you can use it to become strong and powerful AF, y'all. You can find the good in the act of their wrongness, and while in all likelihood that person's going to continue to be who they are, that's irrelevant to you. That's almost a reason to feel sorry for them, because they can't evolve and change like you can. Their personality disorder might prevent that. But maybe someday, you know, if you choose to forgive them, okay, but that doesn't mean that you let them back in your life. That means you're forgiving yourself first, and you're moving on and deciding all that stuff later. Remember the saying, living well is the best revenge, because forgiveness can be that first step in living well. Self-forgiveness, my friend. I'm going to give you one quick tip to how to actually manage the act of forgiving yourself, or at least to get a good jump start on it, and then we're going to read the cards. So you might want to write this down. I'm going to call this your homework for today, or part of it anyway. Sit down and write yourself a letter as though you were writing it to someone else who you love or care about unconditionally. Maybe this is your child or your pet or your best friend or someone else in your life. But just imagine that that person has experienced what you have, and you are writing them a letter to forgive them. Think about what happened. Think about your own emotions. Think about your own feelings around this issue, kind of meditate on it for a little while, and then write down why you feel guilty, why you feel angry at yourself, and how much of that is really your responsibility. Be honest with yourself. Write down what you wish you had done, what you wish you had said, how you wish it should have gone, or what you think you should have done instead of what you did. And then write down what you actually did. And then take time to analyze that situation. Take, you know, set it aside for a couple hours or a couple days, and then go back and write down, I forgive myself for allowing this abuse to happen, for continuing to allow it to happen if you don't want to start off with allowing, because none of us really meant to allow it, did we? But forgive yourself, especially for not knowing what you didn't know when you didn't know it. That's a big important thing. Take the time to analyze the situation. Then bury the letter outside under your favorite tree. And the reason I say bury it is because when you bury something, you know, if you were thinking about symbolism, burying something in the earth would allow that thing to grow and flourish better, so to speak, symbolically. And so you would, you know, be planting your seeds of forgiveness. I like the symbolism behind that. Maybe you even want to throw a little flower on top of it just to make it extra pretty and symbolic. Or if you're not into that kind of stuff, just tuck it in your journal or a drawer and know that it's done. Consciously and intentionally forgive yourself. Say out loud, I forgive myself for allowing this to happen for as long as I did, and I go forward in light and love. So say it with me, I forgive myself for allowing this to happen for as long as it did, and I go forward in light and love. This sort of ceremonial forgiveness of self, it can be an excellent way to start the real process of forgiving yourself deep at a core soul level. I'm sorry if you just heard my stomach growl, I keep forgetting to eat before these things. But anyway, once you start the process with a ceremony like that, it can be a really powerful shift, like we talked about yesterday, the shift. It can be a powerful shift for you that can start you on the process to serious recovery and evolution beyond narcissistic abuse and beyond what probably your average human will ever achieve. So there's your silver lining. What do you think about all this? Share your thoughts, ideas, and experiences in the chat now or in the comments below if you're watching back later. And I think it's time to read the cards, y'all. Ba-dum-bum. Okay, so let me just pull up our chat, make sure everybody's still with me. Yes, indeed. Okay, all right. Hello, everybody. Now, hey, Stacy. Oh my goodness, the chat is going fast today. Okay, so really quickly before we get into all that, there is a lot of chat coming and I'm thrilled to see it. We are going to start with our Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills deck, which is linked in the description below, but you don't need to buy it because I'm sharing all of them with you over the course of the next several, well, actually just probably another week or so, because we're on number 46, which there are 52. And I think I mentioned a couple of times that I have two brand new decks for us starting next week sometime whenever we get to number 52. So today's card is an interpersonal effectiveness skill, and you may want to write this down because this could be a little homework for you today. Practice making simple requests. Find safe opportunities to make small, Find safe opportunities to practice making small, simple requests. For example, ask a stranger for the time or directions. In a store, ask an employee to help you find something. With friends, ask for a small favor. The more you practice, the easier it will get. Try it today. So this is for those of us who very often struggle to even ask for any help at all. You know, we might be carrying 75 pounds worth of groceries in both hands and we can't seem to ask anyone to open the door for us, you know, for example. So don't be afraid to ask for a little bit of help. Okay. Yeah, no, we are not a political channel. Thank you. Okay. Do we have any mods in the chat today? Let's see. Bonnie, are you here? Bonnie's here. Good. Okay. All right. Our affirmation for today comes from the Gabrielle Bernstein Super Attractor deck. And this is also linked in the description below, but you don't need to buy it because I'm sharing all the cards with you over the next week or so and for the past several weeks. Today's card is a really pretty design, and it says, get ready, this is your affirmation for today. When I make joy a priority, brilliant ideas will come naturally. Support will surround me and movements will form. Wow, that's powerful. When I make joy a priority, brilliant ideas will come naturally. Support will surround me and movements will form. Love it. Love it, love it. Okay, now I'm going to jump in the chat and we're all going to have a little talk. So let me scroll right back up there and let me get to the all chat so I don't miss anybody. Live chat. All right, we have, well, okay, Bonnie, thank you for doing what you're doing there, honey. Well, it's only taking me back up. I'm sorry, guys, it won't let me see all the chat now, but I'm gonna start with Kristen Ray Johnson. Best revenge is success without the toxic person in our lives. Absolutely agreed. Hello and welcome. Bonnie says, yes to Martha. Self-forgiveness is the key to releasing the poison too. Guys, if you left me a question or a comment before the point where Kristen Ray Johnson said best revenge is success, please leave it again because I can't get back up to it. All right. Let's see. Hey, BC. Welcome, welcome. Magenta says, to BC, I met and married my husband before I awoke too. 14 years together on the 19th. How awesome that you have each other to lean on. Right on. The Shine Rose idea is perfect for folks like us for sure. Yes, indeed, indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay, hey, what's for tea? Yes, let it go. Yes, indeed. UNA says to BC, I know some very nice people who have PTSD. Gee, most of us who are abused have CPTSD. Yup. Philip Coggin says, forgive yourself first. I agree with that, obviously. Magenta says to BC, I just type it in. Everyone does it a little different and we're pretty easygoing here. Yep, that's right. Bonnie said, we deserve forgiveness to ourselves. Yes. Callie says, make it about you, not about them. All those things are true. Hey, Callie, welcome back. Magenta says, self-forgiveness is the best gift we can give ourselves. 100%, I agree with that. Ella says, beautiful Angie, as always, being subjected to narcissistic abuse is never easy nor easily detected. Truth. Chris says, forgive self. Interesting topic. Yeah. Yeah, it is an interesting topic. It is, but it's something that we all have to do. I think a lot of us don't do it. We don't even realize we need to do it. Because why should we have to forgive ourselves when we were the ones being abused? Right? Okay. Hey, Nargis. Welcome. Welcome back. Nargis says, whoop, did I mess up my microphone? Nargis says, hello, Angie. With what's going on now around the world, it's even more challenging, emotionally and mentally exhausting. How to not be overwhelmed with this and other existing emotions? Yeah. Okay. Chris says, no coffee yet. Get your coffee. Bonnie says, my angel says, when we know better, we do better. Okay. Yeah, that's another good one from her. Nargis, here's the thing. I think it is very difficult for all of us in this situation. I know every time my kids leave the house to go to school, I'm like, oh man, I hope they don't catch the coronavirus or whatever. But in this situation, I would say, think about what you can control, not what you can't. If you're signed up for ShineBuzz daily newsletter, you will see that there is a there's an article there today that was, how to protect yourself from the coronavirus. It's all information from the CDC and doctors, nothing that was thought up by me, but it's legitimate. You know, here are some protective measures you can take for yourself in the process. But then on that same token, we have, like you said, we have a lot of our own anxieties, a lot of our own issues. So what I would say to you here is do what you can to protect yourself. So if you need to get a mask, if you need to, you know, make sure you buy extra toilet paper like we do here, or, you know, keep extra food in the house and be prepared, you know, then do that. Wash your hands all the time. Use hand sanitizer when you can't wash your hands. Stay, 3 feet from people or 6 feet, depending, and try to just don't spend more time in crowds than you need to. My point is control what you can in this situation. There are many things that we have control over. How often do we wash our hands? How often do we choose to, use hand sanitizer? How often are we going out unnecessarily? You know, those things you can control. What you can't control is what other people are doing, and what you can't control is what's happening on the news. So try to only watch enough news so that you're informed when it comes to this stuff. Try not to stay focused on it. Try to stay focused on keeping yourself healthy and safe. And if, God forbid, something, you do contract it, recognize that most of us are going to survive it just fine. Some people over certain ages might struggle a little bit, and of course, the smallest children. But in most cases, as long as we keep ourselves safe, we do what we can to, boost our immune system. Take some extra vitamin C, talk to your doctor. I'm not a doctor. I think, Nargis, in this case, it's about focusing on what you can control and letting the rest of it go. Because what we can't control is, by stressing about it, we're just going to manifest more badness into our lives. So instead, focus on what you're grateful for and, again, what you can control. I hope that's a little bit helpful, my friend. UNA says, yes, self-forgiveness plus forgive them of the debt they owe you, their understanding and apologies, because you'll never collect on that debt. And that is wise and powerful and true. They cannot truly ever acknowledge their own faults in this unless they're doing it for the purpose of getting something else from you. That's the only time I've ever seen any apparent remorse in a narcissist, is when they wanted something from you. They wanted you to come back. They realized, oh my gosh, I went too far. I want this person back. So I'm going to just now act how they think you want them to act in order to get them back. That's the Hoover We're not going to go into all that today. But yes, you're right. BC says, as far as the coronavirus, everyone should watch. I don't know who that is. All right. Okay. Chris says, interesting way of looking at things. Chris, I'd like to know your feelings about this. When I say interesting, it usually means something different. So am I wrong here? If you have negative feelings, it's okay to tell me. I want to make sure that I'm serving you in the best way that I can. So if you feel negatively about it, or you're not liking what I'm saying, that's okay. Talk to me about it. Let me know. And maybe I can help you understand, or maybe you can help me understand from a different perspective. Because I never think I know everything. Know that about me. And I'm never offended if someone disagrees with me, as long as it's as respectfully as I would disagree with them, which is just calmly, I guess. Narga says, blame leads to unresolved anger, resentment, then depression, and more pain. Yep. She said, it's hard to forgive. Oh, it's so hard. Even myself for not being stronger and not standing up for myself and my kids. I absolutely feel you, honey. I do. I know how that feels. But what happens is, you maybe weren't capable until you did stand up. You know, and your situation in particular is especially toxic because I think certain societal things made them think it was okay to treat you that way, maybe. Those things aren't true, and you don't deserve any of that, any of that abuse. But you're right, in that it leads to unresolved anger. But you've got to forgive yourself because you did it. You did stand up for yourself and your kids as soon as you were able to do that. Please don't beat yourself up, honey. It's not your fault. The only thing that you can take any blame for at all is the allowing. And as soon as you were able to, you stood up and you stopped allowing it. So give yourself a little credit. And imagine, Nargis, if one of your sons came to you and said, Mom, I'm in this bad relationship, this all, you know, and they repeated your story back to you, but it was them having the bad relationship instead of you. If you can imagine how that would be, imagine, what would you say to your child in that moment? Would you beat your child up for staying as long as they did, or would you be proud of them and praise them for finally getting out? I think we know the answer to this, my friend. Forgive yourself. You deserve it. Forgive yourself and love yourself enough to do that for yourself, because it will help you evolve and grow forward. You feel me? Okay. Pam Hall, welcome back, my friend. Pam says, we have all suffered enough. Narcissist abuse has to be called out, otherwise it's being enabled. I agree with that, but at the same time, we don't have to. This is why we do this. This is why I'm talking about it. This is why I'm trying to teach about it. But by calling out the individual narcissist personally, I think you're setting yourself up for more pain. I mean, certainly do it if it feels good to you, if it feels right to you, but recognize the ramifications, because not only will they then be able to display narcissistic injury and act like the victim, and probably add that into your smear campaign that they're already brewing up. But also, it's going to continue to decrease your own peace and your own calm, because you're going to be still engaging with that person or about that person. Imagine the peace of not having to think about them every day anymore. Imagine the peace of not having them running through your head telling you things about yourself that aren't true anymore. You know, imagine waking up in the morning and really not ever thinking about that person all day, and then realizing, I didn't think about them all day. That's the first step to heal. You know, that's when you know you're on your way to healing. Like that, when that day happens, if it hasn't happened for you already, when you notice, you know, one morning or one evening, hey, I didn't think about that person all day, you'll be like, okay, I'm on my way. Because I think that's the tipping point that you're going to know, okay, it's coming. It's right around the corner, you know, that you're fully healing. Something to think about. All right. But there's more to it than just that. Don't misunderstand me, because we also have to, you know, in addition to forgiving ourselves, we also have to give ourselves a little bit of compassion, you know, and we have to recognize what it is that is in us that allowed us to allow it for as long as we did. And we have to grow and strengthen our self-esteem, our self-love, our self-image, our self-worth, all of that stuff. It's all together. It's all connected. Yeah. Bonnie says, use the pain and the knowledge and time with the narcissist for good. When you get to this point, your life shifts and you are then able to heal yourself. Indeed. Indeed. Yes. Pam says, last chance to believe there's a shred of democracy. Nope. Sorry, we're not going to talk about politics, but I love you, Pam. Dan says, I feel you. Thank you, Dan. Let's see. Chris says, thanks. Let's see. BC says, it's hard to take responsibility for my part when it was my mother who was the abuser. Yes, yes. This is, I want to talk about that. She says, I was numb to her insults and devaluation after 30 years. Therapy is the only thing that opened my mind to, my eyes to it. Let me talk about this because a lot of us can relate. I can personally relate. I don't think we have to forgive ourselves for that part. When we were raised by a toxic narcissist, this was not our choice. You know, the only thing I have to forgive myself with that is continuing to try to engage with her from 18 to 35. That was it. And from 18 to probably 20 or 21, I don't really know that it was totally within my control, but by staying connected to her as long as I did, well, I just didn't know any better. I didn't know that you could walk away from a parent. You know, I kept thinking I wanted to, but I thought that was not normal. But then at the moment that she did the bad thing that she did, which we talked about recently with in one of the videos, or you can go to queenbeing.com/story if you want to read that, she did bad things in my life, and that was the point at which I decided to go no contact, and it was the right thing to do, even though I didn't really know what no contact was. But I agree with you, Pam. I mean, BC, I agree with you that you cannot, and you don't need to forgive yourself for your toxic parent. That was not in our control. But if you are in a situation where you're beating yourself up on behalf of the toxic parent still, or you're in a situation where, like, I was kind of mad at myself for hanging around for all, you know, 20 more years or 30, 25, however long that was, more years, then you have to forgive yourself for that part. I never felt the need to forgive myself for my childhood as much as I felt the need to forgive myself for my romantic relationship. I hope I'm making sense here. Because certainly not, no child, I mean, there are different theories on this. Some people will tell you that children do choose their families, but that's, nobody knows that for sure. That's just a bunch of BS. I mean, maybe it's not, but as far as we know, we didn't choose those people. We didn't choose to be raised. I know I certainly did not choose to be raised by that person. So I don't think that that's the same thing, but I agree with BC on that. And I'm glad you said that because I do want to clarify. And I tried to kind of mention that a couple times during the content, but it is important to recognize that a lot of times the reason we fall into toxic relationships as adults is because of growing up with a toxic parent, which again, not our fault. Can't be forgiven, you know, can't forgive ourselves for that part because we didn't do anything at all. I hope that helps. Bonnie says, boundaries to an empath is often a learned skill. Yes, yes, especially when we've been raised by toxic people who told us we didn't deserve to have our own boundaries. She said, work on your boundaries and self-esteem. Then veering away from these bad actors becomes much easier. Yes. Orange Goon. Oh, I'm not going to talk about all that. I just want you guys to know I don't talk about politics on this channel because I think it's not really always relevant to what we're doing here. And I don't want to divide our community by bringing politics into it. And plus, not everybody here is American, so it's not always entirely relevant to everything. Bonnie says, find the blessings and knowledge from the betrayal, basically like making lemonade out of lemons theory. Yes. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Pam says, hard to live well when can't afford health care. That is an issue. You're right. You're right. Magenta says, great exercise. I'm writing that letter right up, Magenta. Dan says, leave political opinions out. You're missing out on healthy healing information. Dan is right. Yes. Magenta says, I think it's important to note that forgiving your abuser, yes, yes, it is important to note this. I'm going to say it. Forgiving your abuser doesn't mean they need or deserve to know. It is not for them. It's for us. And I agree with that 100%. That is what I always say. I don't believe that you should ever walk up to your abuser and forgive them. I don't believe you should mail them the letter that I suggest you write. It's not about them. It's about you, and it's about me, and it's about Magenta, and each of us individually, because we are the ones living with it. The narcissist goes on and does what, they're not our problem anymore. You know, that's the thing. Once we go no contact, or we're preparing to go no contact, they're not our problem. Now, we might have to deal with them as a co-parent, or something like that, in which case we can minimize contact, do lowest contact, do only through text messages, or better yet, one of those court apps this court-approved apps where you can only communicate about the children and everything is potentially evidence if the person goes crazy on you. And they are court-approved. I've done a video with links under it about that as well, about the different ones that are available. BC agrees. It's nothing to do with them. It's needed to recover or you'll stay a victim. I agree with that. Oh, Nargis. Nargis said, the ceremonial forgiveness made me cry. Thank you so much. I love you, honey. I hope you're okay over there. Yeah, Pam, I hear you, girl. Magenta says to CB, exactly. Totally not easy, but essential for forgiveness. Yes. I agree. This isn't a political channel. Thank you, UNA. Magenta says, oh, snap. I got to go. Love you, honey. Thanks for being here. much love to the Angie and the mods, too. Nargis and Orange Goons. Kelly said, I think forgiveness for me is not really forgiving the abuser. Yes, that's right, but acknowledging that they are wired differently and accepting it. Hey, if that works for you, that helps me too. For me, looking at the abuser has to be like looking at it. I have to try to see it from a scientific perspective. And what I mean is I try to, at least in the beginning of healing, this is important for all of us, I think, try to look at them from the perspective of, you know, as a scientist, as in, let's look at the facts instead of the emotions. Now then, once you get to understand the facts, it's so much easier to connect the emotions and the facts and recognize, well, maybe I shouldn't have felt that way because this is just a program that this person seems to be running. And if you doubt that, look around at other narcissists. Why did we all connect? Because something that my narcissist did, it spoke to you, probably. Or something I said about a narcissist spoke to you because you thought, that's my people right there. That's exactly what I deal with, right? There's a reason that 122,000 people in county have subscribed to my channel, and it's because they all have a playbook. I mean, they seem to be using a playbook. They're so similar, no matter what walk of life, no matter what country, culture, religion. There's no line here. You know, you can be anybody. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can be American or British or, you know, Middle Eastern or whatever, and there's no difference. You know, the only difference is whether or not society supports them. And quite honestly, I think most societies, we'll just go off of them. We're just going to move on from that. Point is, there's no demographic line that separates us. I'm getting off track anyway. Huffle Mom, hey. Hey. This is Jack Lumen's girl, I believe. Says, yes, I never went no contact with my abusers. They all chose to leave my life, and I'm better for it. I'm not about to let them live in my head rent-free. I still feel bad, though. I get it, but you're doing the right thing. Try not to feel bad, though, because what? You have nothing to feel bad about. I mean, number one, they chose to leave your life, but even if you chose to leave their life, you know, by feeling bad about it, you're letting them continue to punish you. And you don't deserve that. Jack says to Nubia, yeah, Huffle Mom and I have been working hard to help each other deprogram ourselves from so many lies, lots that we listened to early in childhood. Yep. Okay, wait, where was I? Oh. Hey, Charlie Rogers, welcome. I want to try to get back up. I think my chat jumped down on me, so I'm going to try to get back up here. Yeah, Jack, that's exactly what we're talking about, is forgiving ourselves today. Chris, wait a minute. I'm missing so many things. Oh, Pam, thank you. Okay, sorry, guys. I'm just scroll back up really quick so I can... Okay, it was getting political. Oops. Okay, I'm coming back up. I'm just going to start here because what they've done is they have dropped my... Oh, thank you, Wes, for tea about the duplication. I kind of mixed up my cards. So I need to go through them when it comes to the affirmations. I need to go through them and restack them correctly because I sort of guessed. Thank you. Okay. BC says, I'm more likely to ask for help from a stranger. If they let me down, I have no connection to them. Asking for help from anyone close to me is much harder. I get that. She said, I was brought up to believe that caused more pain. I think a lot of us can relate to that one. Yeah. Oh, Chris says, I was going to sleep in. I'm glad I didn't. That's awesome. I'm so mad that I missed part of the chat. Now, I'll be able to go back and watch it back later, like on the replay, but it jumped me down again. It does that to me sometimes. Thank you again, Bonnie. Mindy says, I've had many narcissists in and out of my life. Forgiving led to allowing them back in. It didn't work. Only the same cycle occurred, making it hurt worse than the first time. And Charlie agrees with that. Okay, listen. It's interesting because it's worthwhile. Okay, Chris, I can dig that. Thank you. Listen, I want to say, oh, hey, Kingdom Princess. Good to see you too. It's been a minute. Listen, I want to talk about this. So again, as Magenta mentioned, and as I always say, forgiving the narcissist is definitely not about, okay, I forgive you. It's not. It's about digging deep in yourself, and it's about releasing the connection to them and the connection to that pain. It's sort of like forgiving in the traditional sense, but not. It's more about releasing, and it's about letting go so that you can move forward in a healthier way. But I would never tell the narcissist you forgive them, because that's not their business. It's not about them. It's about you. So, Mindy, I would suggest that you try the letter thing I talk about all the time, where you sit down and you write the narcissist a letter, and you put all of your deepest, darkest thoughts in there. You say all the things you wanted to say but couldn't say because narcissists won't give you any closure. You tell them why you're angry, why they hurt you, all those things, how they hurt you. You really get it out there. Say all the cuss words you want to say. You know, don't worry about punctuation. Just get it out there. And then when you're finished, if you're anything like me, you'll rewrite it, and you'll write it in a nicer hand, or you'll type it and whatever. But it doesn't matter. Whatever you need to do. And then when you're finished with the letter, take a deep breath, release it. And then if you're anything like me, you'll probably burn the letter. Or you can run it down the river, or just throw it in the trash, tear it up in little pieces, get rid of it. Or maybe you want to keep it just in case you ever slip back into the need to be with that person again. Either way, the letter is therapeutic. You never send it to the narcissist. I mean, unless you really want to, but why give them any more supply, you know? The concept of forgiveness is not about that person. It's only about you. Period. End of discussion. Okay. I hope that's helpful a little bit. Miss Fantastic, awesome name again. I know I see you every day, but I love your name. Says, if your narcissist is your first love, the one that got away, can that make the healing process even harder? Of course. But when you start to look at them like a scientist, and you start to recognize what they have become, if they weren't already that, because sometimes you meet them when you're a teenager, right? Then that's a different story. You have to change your perception. You have to stop thinking of them as your first love and see them as the first person who, you know, maybe you were in a relationship with, or the first person who caused you this sort of pain, or how you almost accidentally, or you accidentally married a version of one of your toxic parents. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to look at it, but you have to stop seeing this person as your first love and the one who got away first. I think that's going to be your biggest and most helpful thing you can do there. Let's see. Jack Lumen says, looks like I missed the tub thumping soapbox standing fun. Mindy says, it's hard to forgive sometimes to me without feeling like an idiot, but I had to accept that I can't control them, only myself and my reactions. That's it, honey. That's it right there. Ding, ding, right there. That's very smart. And that's the truth. We can only control ourselves and our own reactions. We cannot control the narcissist or anyone else in our lives. Anyone who isn't us. Even our children, up to a point. I mean, we can try, but what's the point? Let them be themselves. That's another day. Okay. Mindy and Charlie relate to each other very much. Nicole Angelina, welcome back, honey. Says, hello, beautiful people. Narcs are bankrupt spiritually. Yes, I agree with that, Bonnie. Yep. Uncle Meow Meow, hey, in the house, says, I realized yesterday my ex-narcissist learned her behaviors from her parents and others, and they've done so well. Then they have done so as well. I concluded I cannot be entirely angered toward her. If anything, I pitied her. You're on your way to healing, my friend. That is a huge step, because you're right. This is almost always a cyclical thing that happens in families. But here you go. Now you can break this for your own self and your own family, whether that family is just yourself, or you have children, or you have, you know, non-blood family that you want to share this more positive light with. This is, yeah, feel sorry for her, fine. But don't feel so sorry for her that you think you can change her, my friend, because that's not going to happen. You're just going to make yourself miserable. So stick to your guns. pity her from afar. Don't pity her up close. You feel me? Okay. Because narcissists love that. Oh, Nargis says, I knew I could trust Angie to help me understand and keep me calm with her answers. Oh, honey, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you so much. Big hugs and love to you. Yeah, Bonnie, we are often overgivers and they are always overtakers. That's legit. That's absolutely the truth. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, Chris. I'm glad she said, I'm glad I woke up for this topic. Thank you. My pleasure. Nicole Angelina says, my sister is still deep with her narcissist. I'm trying to educate her, but now it's starting to affect my life. What can I do? Because her narcissist is on to me and is trying to sabotage our relationship. Okay, here you go. If you want to be able to still hang out with your sister and be around them as a couple, then pretend to the narcissist that everything's fine and you think they're awesome. If you want to help your sister more, you know, you and I both know, Nicole, that she's not going to walk away from that person until she's ready. So you can just subtly, you know, slip her videos here and there, slip her articles or whatever, or casually mention someone you know in a situation like hers, but you can't push her too hard because then she absolutely will push you away. And so what I would say is try to make peace with the narcissist if you want to still spend time with her, or if not, then maybe you just talk over the phone, but you back way off because right now her head is with the narcissist. And so until she's ready to reach out and say, hey, I need help to get out, there's nothing you can do. She might be still in the love bombing phase or she might just be that codependent, but you can only just say, hey, you know what? I'm here for you. And you can just be there for her. And you can try to make peace with the narcissist while she's still with him, but always let her know that you got her no matter what. And if she needs you to help you get out, you're there if you can. You know what I'm saying? I hope that helps. I know it doesn't help at all. But what I do know is that continuing to push and push and push, it's going to make her hold on harder to the narcissist and it's going to make the narcissist hold on harder to her. And quite honestly, you will become their common enemy. And when a narcissist and their supply have a common enemy, they actually get along a little better for a minute. So stop being the common enemy. Allow them both to think everything's fine. But, you know, and so that you don't have to lose your sister. But at the same time, like, don't, like, if the narcissist tries to gaslight you or tries to manipulate you, don't let them. You know, gray rock a little bit. Keep yourself emotionally distant from that person. Just be connected to your sister. I hope that helps a little bit. The only other option is to back off from your sister and let her just deal with it herself until she's ready. Let me know your thoughts. Okay. Jack says, I've been known to get a little political more than once. Yeah, we're not doing politics here. Yeah, we don't want to alienate anyone. Yeah, Jack agrees it's better to stay focused on the topic. Yep. Mindy says, yeah, once I called them out, it got worse. Just keep it to yourself if you can. That's the truth. It's the truth. Calling them out does no good. It just makes them act like they're the victim, and then they get to dump more crap on you. And we don't need that, do we? We've had enough. I tell you. Yes. Yes, Bonnie says narcissism is often generational. It's okay to pity them as long as your boundaries are strong. Bonnie, we are on the same page, girl. She says, we can have compassion, but we will never be their doormat again. And that is 100% accurate. Big hugs to you, my friend. Charlie says to Nicole, the harder a narcissist keeps you away, the more right you are in your actions. You're a threat to their control over the victim. I don't know what to do except plant a seed in the victim. Charlie is absolutely 100% correct. That's very eloquent way to put it. And that's the truth. That is exactly the problem. That's why narcissistic parents will not like your new person, your new spouse or partner, even if they are also a narcissist, because they will think, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose control over my adult child. And that's what happens, and they don't like it. You're absolutely right. Pam says, I appreciate what you're saying, Angie. I can't wait till he's gone. Honey, I hear you and feel you. I do. Tipping Point says, what's for tea? Yes. Right? Yes. Jack says to Bonnie and Uncle Meow Meow, yeah, abuse in my family is intergenerational. Sadly, I can give you internet reference. Oh, wow. Ray Pratt, that's my great grandfather. Okay. I'll tell you something. It is. And in almost every situation, I would say 99.9% of my clients acknowledge to me that there was a toxic childhood. I mean, almost all of them. There's maybe been one or two that didn't. have a toxic childhood, or at least didn't recognize it as toxic. You know, but you can still look at even those and see the traumas that they did go through, you know. So it is what it is. All right, let's see here. Yeah, Pam says, I understand why you can't read the political stuff. Oh, it's no problem, honey. I'm not mad about it. I try to stay on topic because we all have different beliefs and different stuff, and it's just better for us to stay focused on why we're here so we don't get too far outside of anyone's comfort zone than we already have to, just to talk about it. Yes, Chris, I agree. Forgive with the heart of knowing we aren't a doormat. I know I read that one already. Pam says, I've referred a lot of people to you to help them combat their PTSD due to this administration. I'm glad that that is true. Thank you, Pam. Huffle Mom says, yeah, we did talk about forgiving. Oh, that was Jack Lumen that said that. Okay. Oh, here it goes. Huffle Mom says, I think part of me is still mad at me for allowing the abuse to happen. How do you go about forgiving that? Well, watch back the video when you get a minute, because I did talk about that at the beginning in more detail. Yep, I hear you, Nicole. She said, I'm just sick of toxic people, so I try to stay away, but that's almost everyone I know. If your sister is not toxic, if she's an empath like you are, I don't want you to stay away from her necessarily, but if she's, you know, narcissistic fleas are a thing. And when I was deep in the depths of my most toxic relationship as an adult, I definitely pushed everyone away from me. I definitely didn't, even people that, like my best friend, pushed them away, because it was so hard for me to deal with them being like, who are you? I don't even know you anymore. And dealing with this person who I was trying to rapidly change for, who would never accept me for who I was in the long run. So, Crystal, Nicole, what I would say to you is make sure that you are, if you're not going to stay directly connected to your sister, you know, say to her, listen, I am not cool with this relationship. I love you so much, but I need to step back for my own mental health. And so I just want you to know, I'm always here for you. Call me for any reason. And I want you to know that if you need me to help you get out, I will. And that's if you're capable of doing that. You know, I'll do whatever I can do, whatever. And that I'll support you, but I can't listen to and watch you being abused anymore. Maybe you can say something like that. Let me know your thoughts. All right. Charlie says, in my case, I had to realize I could not possibly have known any better at the time. Darn right. None of us, you can't know unless you know, you know. The one thing that I can honestly say, and I kind of get the feeling that I think it was Michelle who left us that comment. I feel like this. I recognized at some point in the relationship that something was wrong, and I should have walked away then, but I didn't, because I kept thinking I could fix it. I would be the exception to the rule. Everything would be okay. And I think a lot of us do that. And then there is also, and I want you to all listen really carefully right now, because there is also the intermittent reinforcement thing that happens. They give us these little crumbs of the love bombing throughout the relationship. For example, if, you know, for the first month of the relationship, they had you up on this pedestal, you were beautiful, you were perfect, you were amazing, had a great butt, whatever. Then when they knock you down, every now and then they'll still be like, hey, great butt. And you'll be like, oh, and it reminds you of what it used to be. Or they'll say, you know, you look good today. And that tiny crumb is very often just a spark of hope, and it's false hope. You know, they know what they're doing. They need something from you. They need you to be in a good mood. They need you to do whatever it is. So they're throwing you that intermittent reinforcement, so you'll stick around and keep serving them. So, and then a lot of times you'll find that, like, you'll have a whole week where stuff's almost normal. And then you think, I'm just overthinking everything. I need to stop watching those darn videos. You know, things are fine here. This isn't my life. And then next week, you know what happens? It comes back, because they don't change. And anytime they're calm and normal, it's, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. They don't change. They can, I think, in theory. I think they, in theory, could change. But I've literally never heard of a narcissist making any serious personal change that lasted. I've seen behavior modification only, if that. And then blatant lies. That's it. And I've talked to, you know, Richard Brandon about this. I've talked to Athena Moberg about this. I've talked to, as you know, Dana Morningstar about this. I've talked to so many different experts, doctors, everybody. And what do they all tell me? they could change, but they don't change. Because I really believe if they went in deep and they healed the core wound that caused them to become a narcissist, and then they worked through all their little issues, and they learned empathy, and they developed themselves a little bit, they could change. But has any narcissist ever done this? Maybe, but I'm not aware of them. Are you? Let me know in the comments or here. Caden says, I'm listening to Demi's song in my head. I live in my head, should be paying rent. I feel that toward the inner narc voice. Yeah, and remember, Caden, of that exercise I talk about all the time, where you put a little ladder up the back of your neck, an imaginary one, and imagine a tiny version of yourself crawling up the ladder and popping into your brain and finding that narcissist in there. They're sitting in a chair, and suddenly, boop, there are wheels on the chair. And now all you have to do is to get behind the chair and push them right out of your brain, out your nose. It's a silly visualization, but it works powerfully, and it helps you pattern interrupt whatever it is that's going on in your head at that moment so that you can pretend you blew them out your nose, and now you can replace them with positive focus and thoughts toward yourself or anything else. If you can't think of anything else, think of 10 things you're grateful for and 3 things you love about yourself randomly. That helps too. All right? Let me see. Chris says to Mindy, we don't have to forgive the narcissist to our face. We forgive them for our own benefit. Yes! You got it. I'm sorry if I assumed anything else, Chris. I should have known better. Charlie says to Huffle, Mom, you can't change the past. There's only right now and the future. Charlie, you are spot on. Charlie, you're a wise person. Thanks for being here. Jack nods to Charlie and Huffle, Mom. Oh, and says, Huffle, Mom and I, she's my wife, we've talked a fair amount about that. That we didn't know better at the time, right? You are. That's the truth. None of us. Did we know? We didn't know. We couldn't know. Come on. Nobody knew. You know? And even if you had some concept of, okay, this person doesn't seem right to me, you're human. And if it was a romantic relationship, let's say, and you got into the romantic relationship with that person, we all know that human attraction is very strong and powerful. We all know that it can, in fact, there's a street cleaner outside, so I hope it's not too crazy with noise. It's getting a little noisy. Anyway, we all know that we are unable to, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to resist the love bombing. Sometimes our physical bodies are like, I need to have babies, I need to have babies, I need to have babies. And that's beyond our, it's subconscious, but it's primitive, primal. That's why so many of us, I think on a more primal level, a lot of us are afraid to walk away from a narcissist because of that baby-making urge, or because we already have a family with them, and wouldn't it just be easier if we could finish raising the kids first, or whatever. But we're going to talk about all that another day, because that's a whole other situation we would be getting into there. All right. Huffle Mom says to Charlie, I tell myself constantly that I was young and there was nothing I could have done. I didn't allow it and I never chose it. That's darn right. She said, emotionally though, I don't agree and still feel bad. Okay. Well, Huffle Mom, you need to keep telling yourself, and you need to keep reminding yourself. And anytime you find yourself feeling that way, do a pattern interrupt and change it. Like I always tell myself this one affirmation. I say, if I find myself thinking bad thoughts, I say, nope, I now cancel that thought and I replace it with this affirmation of my true divine desire. And then I say something I do want, or if in whether it's related to that thing or not. And then, or if I can't think of something I do want, then I think of something I'm grateful for. I'm so grateful for all of you, for example. Charlie says, Toffle Mom, that makes sense. Emotions aren't something we can control. However, emotions are just a function of perception. That is to say, inside of our brain, and that's all, not the whole universe. You are very wise, Charlie. I agree with you. I do feel like, even though I don't think that we can fully control emotions, I do feel like we can influence our emotions with intentional vibration management and mindfulness and pattern interrupts when needed. Nubia says, I just left therapy and I talked about the foundational lies I've told myself about men, which keeps me in toxic relationships, narc-free. Yes. I love that, Nubia. I love that. And that is powerful. We have told ourselves a lot of lies, but sometimes those lies were fed to us by toxic people earlier in our lives. Don't forget that. Charlie says to Huffle Mom, I hope you'll be able to step out of the emotion river and watch it from the riverbank. Oh, I love that metaphor. Or is that a simile? I think it's a metaphor. Hey, Nubia. Darlene says, I just joined you. Appointment was a no-show. I'm sorry to hear that. But I have a hard time forgiving myself for ignoring red flags and marrying the man who ended up sexually. Okay. Darlene, I get that. I do. But again, you didn't know what you didn't know when you didn't know it. I'd like you to, after this session, if you have the time, go back and watch the beginning of this video, first 15 or 17 minutes, something like that, where I'm talking about this, because that is a horrible situation, but it is not something that you chose. I mean, Darlene, be honest. If you went back to that very time when you met that person, if somebody had come to you and said, you know, with evidence, here's some evidence that this person is going to screw up your life and your daughter's life, if you knew this was going to happen, you would have never been with that person. That's what I'm trying to say. You know that's true, Darlene. So try. I mean, what happened is horrible, and I totally and completely 100% understand why you feel the way that you do. But recognize that your daughter was not the only victim. You were also a victim. And now you can choose to be a victim, or you can choose to move forward past that and to thrive forward. I'm not minimizing the situation. I feel deeply for you. I feel like crying a little bit reading that, what you went through. Because, you know, but when you know better, you do better. And that's all you can do now. Now you know the red flags. Now maybe you'll err on the side of caution every time, okay? But in order to move forward and stop living in your own personal HE double hockey sticks, you must figure out how to forgive yourself for that horrible situation. And trust me, I know, maybe on too deep of a level, how important that is and how painful what you're experiencing is. And I cannot talk about it any more than that, but I can tell you that much. Yeah. Okay. I'm way over time, and I apologize for that. I want to keep talking to you guys because there's so much more in this chat that I haven't gotten to yet. That's right, Darlene. You would have run far away and fast if you had known. That right there, honey, is what I need you to stay focused on. No, under no circumstance would you have ever been with someone like that had you had any idea, red flags or no. You didn't know. And if you did know, you wouldn't have done it. And that's why you can forgive yourself. Because with full knowledge of that situation, you would have run far and fast. No question. What he did was manipulate you, pull the wool over your eyes, show you someone he wasn't, and force you to trust him. And that's what happened. And now you won't trust someone blindly. You'll be more careful. You'll move forward in a different, more healthy way. And you have to forgive yourself. Please. You deserve that. My pleasure. All right. Hey, Brittany. Okay. This is what I'm going to do, guys. Yes, Helpful Mom, I love your pattern interrupts. She says, I recognize the emotion, I validate it, and I remember its purpose. And then I determine if the feeling is reasonable based on that purpose. And if not, I move on. Love that. Absolutely love it. It's perfect. And that will work for almost anyone. Yes. Okay. I would love to keep talking with you guys, but I'm going to step away because I'm way over time and all that stuff. However, with that being said, I will be here. Okay, listen, I think I mentioned this before. Monday will be a recorded video, at least for the next couple of weeks. We'll see what happens after that. And then Tuesday through Friday, I will be here live every day as usual. And if you have any videos that you would like me to make, or any videos, thank you, see, or any videos that you need to see that you haven't seen yet, or if you want me to put together anything at all, just let me know here in the chat or in the comments section below on this video. I'll be keeping my eye on that. And yep, exactly, Lady of the Lake. Yep. Okay, I'm really leaving. My pleasure, Callie. My pleasure, everyone. Thank you, Huffle Mom. I will see you guys very soon. Hugs and love and doves and all the goodness that it can be. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And thank you for letting me be a part of yours. It really means more to me than I can say. I'll see you all soon.